Well, we're at the live room again, and this time it's John Smith who's on tonight. Hello, John.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Good. And you've just had a good experience of a sound check, I understand.
Fantastic, yeah. Working in the safe hands of Ron at the live room.
He gets a lot of praise.
He keeps it simple, you know. That's all we want, really.
Yeah. And looking at your thing, you're on quite a long tour. You seem to have quite a lot up to August, but that's you going to the States soon, eh?
Back to the States on Tuesday. Mm. Yeah, back to Nashville to begin a string of dates with Peter Mulvey, the American folk singer.
He's been here.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, of course, right. And then, yeah, a bit of writing and stuff while I'm over there. Try and make the most of my time there. You know, so many gifted people over in Nashville and around there. I sort of try and hook up with as many people as I can. And then I come back, and then I'm going back over later in the year, and yeah, just try and stay on the road as much as possible.
It's interesting that you're planning to do some writing. Is that going to be collaborative to seeing other people specifically?
Yeah, exactly. So a couple of friends over there who are writers, we've just planned to get together and try and write some songs.
That's an aspect of touring that's I haven't heard anybody mention before. If you can fit that in, it makes it an additional creative strand.
That's it. Yeah, I suppose the nuts and bolts of touring are quite boring, really. Driving and waiting around in airports and trying to find places to eat and looking at your phone, trying to see where you can get a decent cup of coffee. The actual bit that you do in the evening, the playing music, that's the fun bit, but it's those moments are massively outweighed by the actual job, which is travelling and being places on time and, you know, making sure your equipment works. So if you can factor in a whole day to sit at a table with someone you like and drink coffee and try and write songs, then that feels like a victory, you know.
I think we could even mention that to other people we meet in the future and say, have you thought of having a day out to do some writing, relax with some people and think about your work?
That's it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you were 16, 17 when your brother introduced you to John Renbourn and John Martin and things like that?
He sat me down and played me Five Leaves Left by Nick Drake. It blew my mind. And my dad gave me a cassette of Bert and John. And then a friend of mine had Solid Air on CD, and it all just, the world opened up, you know. Suddenly I knew about British guitar music, and it was immediately something that I wanted to be involved with.
You were playing guitar before then,
I understand. I was very devoted, you know, but I was playing a lot of kind of noisy electric guitar. I was really into Metallica and everything from that to Hendrix, Clapton. Just a teenage boy with a Strat, you know. I just wanted to play as many guitar solos as I could. And then I heard suddenly this other side and alternate tunings and storytelling, and suddenly I knew about folk music.
And that's growing up sort of thing.
That's it.
And spotted in Liverpool, you say as well. That sounds like a good stroke of luck to go along with all your practicing.
Sure. Well, I mean, I was playing every night of the week, and I was about 3 years in to gigging, and I'd been gigging really for pennies, and just I was working 4 or 5 part-time jobs, and then I got invited to go and open for John Martin, the promoter, or rather his agent was at a gig. The Songs of Nick Drake, that gentleman Keith James was doing that gig, and they wouldn't let me play opening for him, so I was basically busking in the lobby of this venue, which I just did. You know, I was trying to play every night, and this guy saw me, said, "Do you want to come and open for John?" And I sort of I stood there with my jaw on the floor, and then I said yes. So I went and printed up. Well, first I went and recorded some songs, then I printed them on a CD on my mate's computer. Back when we used to have to print CDRs, you know. Took them to a John Martin gig, sold them all, opened for John, had a brilliant experience playing to, you know, 1,000 or so ready-made listening people who were there for folk music, and I just it blew my mind, changed me. Mm. Changed everything I knew about gigging. And then John asked me back on tour, and I toured with him for about a year and a half.
Mm.
Yeah.
And touring by yourself, is that a lot more difficult? Do you get lonely in between your collaborations and things?
No, never. Mm. It's funny, when I started out, I had a driver, because my mate, I couldn't drive, you see, and my mate could. So he used to take me around. I'd give him my gig fee, and he'd drive me around opening for John. So I started out kind of in the cushy position, you know, with the big time, with my own personal chauffeur. Mm. And then I learned how to drive, and since then I've been on my own. And when the gig calls for it, I bring a band, you know, a duo or a trio, depending on the size of the show. But mostly I travel myself, my suitcase and my guitar.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And your songwriting is... You haven't written a great deal of songs yourself. You're very traditional in the folk genre.
I've released four albums of my own material.
Mm. Oh, right.
Yeah. And then this new album's got three of mine on it and six traditionals.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I've always played a bit of traditional folk music, but it's always been part of my life, but I've never really committed it to tape.
Mm.
So with the new record, I wanted to commit to it and record it and present it how I feel it, you know.
Mm.
But I'm always writing with other people and writing songs for other people, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just felt like this time I had these folk songs that I've been, you know, sort of wrestling with, and some of them have been taking great shape, and it just felt like time to record them, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And up to the minute, because a lot of what you said on the internet that I saw there was the longevity of these old songs, like old Franklin and things. So so yours will, from the a time now, will be still going strong in 100 years or so.
Oh man, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's just nice to feel like you're contributing to that tradition is an honour, but if people listen to it, you know, in more than a year's time, then that's job done, isn't it?
Mm. And what is it everyday things, politics that you write about, or environment things?
No, I mean, a lot of my songs are about travel and you know, love and hate and life and death, but. I've tried to write about politics. It's not a hat that I really like to wear.
Mm.
I always get in trouble for doing political tweets. Whenever I'm on Twitter, I always there's always somebody disagrees. So I just don't bother anymore.
Yeah.
I just there's enough people expressing their opinions in the world. Mm. I sort of want to offer people a little bit of respite.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
I sort of feel that's my job.
Mm. So you were born in Essex and raised in Devon, and you've done a lot of work, obviously, in Liverpool.
Mm, I lived in Liverpool for 12 years.
Where's your main home now?
I live in Somerset now.
Somerset.
Yeah. I moved from Liverpool back down south to Brighton, and then my wife and I, moved out west to Somerset.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's nice in the countryside.
And is there a musical community there as well for whenever you're able to be home?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, but it's. I quite like getting in and shutting the doors and not having anything to do with the outside world. Mm. So it's quite nice. Not all my musicians live, well, I mean, all spread out. All the people I play with are all over the shop.
Yeah.
So I quite like actually just getting home and being a bit anonymous and not having to think about touring, you know.
Mm.
It's a question we always enjoy asking, because the answer is always different. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah, some people are very into their home scene and wish they could do more of it, but others like you would rather have an absolute break getting home.
Yeah, you know what, I think part of me would like to have a band in my town and people that I could, a place where I could go and play and do all that, but it's that's just not the way it is. So I sort of revel in being able to just have home for home.
Yeah.
You know, when I go home I'm dad, and that's a completely different bag to being on tour.
Mm.
Yeah. It's also a particular stage of your life you're in, you know.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's right. But I still have all my guitars all over the house, you know. I've sort of completely decorated the house with instruments. I can always pick something up and start writing when I'm at home.
Excellent then.
And you're already fostering younger musicians. You've got a support tonight.
Joe Martin has you know, shown up at lots of my gigs over the years, so I'm really pleased that he can open the show.
Good. And you've got a sellout here.
Yeah, apparently so.
That's
a good, isn't it? Yeah. First time here. I never know if anyone's going to come.
We do remarkably well here. it's very good. It's the 7th birthday in a couple of weeks for the live room.
Oh yeah.
And so mainly it's they are sold out. We're very, very lucky.
Good. Yeah. Well, it's a proper scene, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're looking forward to hearing you tonight. Thank you very much.
That's a pleasure. Cheers. Thanks for your time.